Coming up in 14 minutes, your next chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. So make sure and be listening for that. Spec, did I say something stupid? I got the code words right, but I think I said something stupid because apparently, according to the Pepper Jack's Grill Famous Philly text line, I get a word wrong.
Yeah, you may want to brush up on your geography.
Silicon Valley.
I believe it's Silicon Valley, what not did Silicone.
What did I call it? In Silicon Valley. Wow. Slight difference, right?
Extra E at the end, yeah.
Well, I wonder why I said silicone.
I don't know. What do you have on your mind?
No, what do you think I have on my mind? I go to the Low T Center, and it's working, my friend. All right, we're joined in studio now for the next 45 minutes from our guy Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Pete, good to be with you. You've been up at training camp in St. Joe a bunch. So let's start with this question. How's our guy Patty Cake looking up there?
I think he's looking really, really good. I think Chiefs fans, if they had the opportunity to go up and see him, they'd be very pleasantly surprised that I think he's this far along this early in camp. He has had some interception issues, and he has had some overthrows, things like that. But you look for those flashes because I think that's the key with this kid. It's that he could be great, and you certainly see that. I think we put up a video on the Arrowhead Pride Twitter and our social channels of just this absolute bomb in the rain, I think it was yesterday, to DeMarcus Robinson. Mm-hmm. So not only are you seeing those flashes, you're seeing consistency with accuracy, which is something. And again, he has those plays that every kid's going to have, especially those big arm kids. But you're seeing the flashes you need to see to think this, okay, you know what, this kid's great.
Now, they're not hitting. They're not tackling to the ground yet, correct? Well, and they're not going to touch him anyway, but, I mean, how much can we, because I'm bought in. Like, I think the kid's going to be terrific, and I think sitting for a year and now starting is going to be amazing. But how much can you really buy into what you're seeing right now?
You're 100% correct in your thinking that you can't really buy in with a quarterback like this. I mean, the best thing that you have is that regular season game from last year, and that's going to be the case. And until the preseason game, you know, no one is taking him to the ground right now. So. Sure. You know that in the back of your mind, but they had the referees there over the weekend. So if the defensive player gets close enough, they can blow the whistle. But it still isn't the same of getting rattled by taken to the ground or feeling that pain. So until you get to the first preseason game, evaluations are what they are, and even with other players too, if they're not wearing pads, you know, it's just another day. Like today, for example,
pain is a deterrent.
Right.
For most people.
Yeah. I mean, today they were in shorts and shells. So you just have to keep that in mind as you're watching a practice like that.
We're talking to Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Make sure and listen to Pete and Arrowhead Pride Radio on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. It's great stuff. In-depth Chief stuff right here on 610 Sports Radio. Now, Steven Spector, I don't know if you know this or not, huge fan of Alex Smith. Like, really, really sorry to see Alex Smith go. And he wanted me to ask you, do you notice like a big time difference at camp watching Patrick Mahomes versus watching Alex Smith the last few years?
One of the things that I straight up asked Tyreek Hill the other day was, hey, is this the first time in your life someone can hit you in stride? Because as Chiefs fans have seen, if you've been to a game over the past, you know, couple of years, Tyreek Hill is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, he's freaky fast, man.
And to my surprise, I thought he would maybe answer it a little conservatively, and to an extent he did. He said, I'm not trying to take away anything from any former quarterbacks, but yeah. I mean, this is the first time in my life that a quarterback's been able to hit me, and I think that speaks volumes because the arm isn't only big. Like, Tyreek Hill has had the opportunity to play with some quarterbacks that have been good enough at the college level and, you know, the pro level like Alex Smith, but just no one with this ridiculous arm strength. And anytime someone sees it for the first time, they all say the same thing. You look at Chad Henne earlier in camp, 11-year quarterback. He said he's never seen anything like it, especially given the size of Mahomes.
I'm not a big wine guy, I know what I like now, but I only found that out by I got forced into going to a wine tasting one time. And so you taste a bunch of different wines.
Red or white guy?
I'm a red guy. Pinot Noir guy. But I didn't know that until I went to a wine tasting. So the reason I bring that up, though, is because when you see other quarterbacks and then you see Mahomes and you see them work in and out, I think that's when you can see the difference. Like, if you just see Mahomes in a game, you're like, oh, man, he's really good. He's got a can. Well, see the other quarterbacks try to throw that same pass that he did. Do you notice that up there with Henne, McGloin, some of these other guys?
Absolutely. Like, I joked the other day that when you see Patrick Mahomes play, you know, a series or two, and then Chad Henne comes in, it's like switching from Pulp Fiction to The Sound of Music when you're channel surfing. I mean, he's significantly better, and Chad Henne is good for what Chad Henne does, which is basically an additional offensive coordinator in the quarterback's room. He's good. Mahomes has to stay healthy because the difference is just.
I've been saying that the whole time, man.
Significant.
Yeah. Talk me down on this if you can, because I'm convinced that he's going to be an absolute stud if he stays healthy. And, you know, CDOT's like, hey, you guys need to cool it. If he's, you know, Matt Ryan, he's great. You know, that's good. It's so hard to be an elite quarterback, a top five. Talk me down because I'm bought in. Is it because I haven't seen this in Kansas City? And maybe I'm just euphoric about the fact that we've got a guy with a cannon that the Chiefs went up and drafted in the first round. Talk me down from how much I'm in love with this kid and how good I think he's going to be.
First of all, I love that CDOT bit and that thought. If he's Matt Ryan, is that okay? And like,
I'll take it.
You'd want Matt Ryan,
if that's his floor, I'm really good with that.
But at the same time, I just think there's a possibility for it to be more. And to me, as I watch this kid, and even off the field, it's just he came and he's a Texan, and you know maybe there's some poetic justice to that, given the fact the Chiefs were the original Dallas Texans. But he came here and he's just gelling with the city. He can't really make a wrong decision. He goes to the NASCAR and he's wearing jorts and the cutoff, and everybody loves him. And then he gets on the field and he's throwing 70-yard passes, and I'm talking through the air, and just is showing flashes like, okay, this is kind of weird. I said there are special traits that I see sometimes in Chiefs players. For me, Tyreek's speed to an extent last year, Kareem Hunt elusiveness. I saw in OTAs. Watkins has this weird sticky hand thing that I really haven't seen in other receivers that you might see in Odell Beckham Jr. Mahomes sort of has it, meaning there are moments when you kind of get up out of your chair and say, oh, man, what's going on here? You know, and I think that he's another one of those players on the Chiefs that has that special trait. And to me, that only happens when you could have a transcendent player. It's just so hard right now because I understand what CDOT's saying. Like, you have to wait until the games. But all you can do is wait, and all you can do is work with what you're seeing. And to me, seeing's believing. And so far in training camp, I'm believing.
And I'm big on two things. And by the way, we're talking to Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. He's going to be in studio until 4 o'clock today, and you can listen to Arrowhead Pride Radio Thursday at 6 o'clock. When I see the kid, I'm usually with CDOT on stuff like that, okay? Like, I'm usually like, because I'm a baseball guy, and I know it takes a long time, and you could be a top draft pick, and it still may not work out, Bubba Starling, and all that stuff. So I get it. I understand that. But with this kid, I'm completely bought in, and I'm comfortable with it. Speck and I compared it to last week. It's like when you fall in love with the woman that you're going to marry.
Right.
Like, you don't need 5 years to know that. You know that pretty darn quick.
Has that happened for you two guys?
Well, Speck, are you engaged yet?
No, I'm not engaged.
Have you bought the ring yet?
Why do you keep putting this pressure
on
me?
I'm just asking.
You're worse than my girlfriend.
You should do it. Just do it.
What are you scared of?
Tonight.
Tonight?
So,
okay.
So she's not the one? Is that what you're telling me? I'm just kidding.
I plead the fifth.
No, but I feel like...
You're going to make him take another radioactive pill.
Absolutely. But I feel like he's it, and he's... One, as corny as that sounds. I mean, am I crazy? I feel like I'm fairly objective.
Are you going to take him to Silicon Valley?
I would take him to Silicon Valley.
I think it was one thing when he was drafted. You know, my boss is Joel. He's been a Chiefs fan forever. He's well-known in the city. He was up out of his chair hugging another grown man when Mahomes was drafted. And you had that initial feeling, okay, we're finally getting one of our own. And I think not only do the Chiefs fans have that, but it's just been building on top of that ever since. You have Tom Bahali comparing him to Brett Favre. Andy Reid even mentioned that, you know, when he was first drafted. So it's just...
And it doesn't feel like propaganda either.
No, yeah. I think to an extent, though, it was a little bit because you were trading a really, really above-average quarterback to the Washington Redskins. And I think that... I think that sort of gets lost in this sometimes.
Such a hater.
I think that sort of gets lost in this sometimes. And so the Chiefs wanted to put out and give that message. We really believe this in this kid, and you should too. And that message got across. Kansas City's bought in. And no one objective really from the national level has really killed the Chiefs ever on this. So it's the perfect storm, man, and I don't blame you. And
so excited.
And so, he could be the one.
You're giving me goosebumps, Pete. I love it. Hey, when we come back, your next chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Plus, Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride has 5 takeaways from Chiefs camp. We'll get into that. Stay with us. Welcome back into the drive today, minus CDOT. He is headed down to Mizzou for the Power Mizzou meet and greet. It's at Shiloh Bar and Grill. If you're down that direction, go see him. Barry Odom, Brad Luce, Jonte Porter are going to be down there, and it's all for a great cause. All the proceeds go to Rally for Ryan. It is time for 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word, this is a tough one, Speck. Text the word ACT to 72881. That's A-C-T, ACT. And you could be the $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to up to $12,000 each weekday. You win $12,000 a day if you listen. Just listen on the 30s from 7 to 7. Your next chance to win is at 4:30. Your next chance to win $1,000. Some tough words, you know, Speck. Usually CDOT gets the really easy one. I got ACT today.
I guess you have to act like you've been there before.
I do, and I think so far I'm doing it. I always tease him about screwing the code word up, and it may be me today. But if I keep getting layups like that, I'm in pretty good shape. We're joined in studio until 4 o'clock by Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Check him out at arrowheadpride.com. They're our proud partner. Great Chiefs coverage this year. And, Pete, you got 5 takeaways from Chiefs camp. You've been up there every single day. What are those takeaways, my man?
Yeah, I know not everyone has had the opportunity to go to camp, so came prepared today. First takeaway from Chiefs camp so far, and we talked about it before the break, Patrick Mahomes flashing as expected. He's connecting with the big three pretty consistently up there. Make sure to feed the big dogs, as Adam Teichter with ESPN likes to say. Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill all getting the ball, all levels of the field, deep ball, tight windows. But to me, the biggest quote from training camp regarding Patrick Mahomes came from Terrez Paylor, who is on the station a lot with Yahoo Sports now, and came from Chad Henne. Listen very closely from, again, Terrez Paylor's article on Mahomes. Henne says, Mahomes can pick out pretty much any play in the playbook, apply it to the coverage, and know where to go with the football without having install. Meaning, he doesn't need any practice. All he needs to do is study and learn the play, and then he sees a defense and is ready.
He's the kid that doesn't have to study and still gets great grades. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct. So that's what Henne is saying. Henne's been in the league for 11 years and is saying Mahomes doesn't need to practice the play. On the first try, he's usually pretty good.
Are we talking about practice here? We're talking about
not
Speck,
for Mahomes.
Are we talking about the game or practice here, Speck?
Just practice.
Okay.
Number
you're making me – you're getting me all –
Oh, the hype machine's pumping,
I'm
baby.
I'm serious, man. It's the fourth time we got goosebumps since you've been in here. I'm not lying.
Number two, people are excited about linebacker Anthony Hitchens. People are excited about Kendall Fuller sort of replacing that Marcus Peter role.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be a bigger defensive addition to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm talking about the 2014 version of Justin Houston.
Oh.
Justin Houston hasn't been the same player for a couple years now. Again, he went through those knee injuries. 16 and 17, he was not the same player. And this week, we had a reason. Here was first D Ford talking about Justin Houston.
People don't understand, like, how bad his injury was and how he also tried to play and he tried to come back too fast. So, you know, and he's not an excuse guy. You really got to respect that. And you could just see, you know, it's hard to come back off of an injury, you know, and people don't really understand it. That's why I'm so excited to be back in full form so fast, because you really – sometimes it might take 1 or 2 years, even though that guy's coming back and actually playing well. He might not be back to a elite level until like 2 or 3 years after the surgery. So
I was curious. So D Ford says 22 sack, Justin Houston's back. Justin Houston was at the mic yesterday. So I said, hey, you know, is that true?
When you have surgery, and the surgery I had on my knee, it takes time. As much as you want to be ready, it still just takes time to get your pop back and get where you want to be at. So I think I'm there. I'm beyond there right now. It just feels great to be back in that building.
For the past few years, you just weren't just completely right, and now you're there.
Yeah, I didn't have all my strength in my leg. I was out there pretty much on one leg, but no excuses. I was out there, so I had to do my job.
You might forget, but Justin Houston back in the day was nearly as good as J.J. Watt.
Yeah, he was a beast.
If this guy's truly back to that form, and I get he's a little older now.
Yeah.
The defense is going to be way better.
And they're going to line him up over the weakest link now. I mean, it's somewhat of a change in philosophy too, right?
Correct. So yesterday they had D Ford working on the left, where he did really have the best stretch of his career.
Yeah.
And Justin Houston on the right. So depending on how the offensive line is, you could see Justin Houston all over the field now.
Give me 15 sack Justin Houston. I'm good with that. He had 9.5 last year. If he's getting 15 sacks, that means he's affecting the quarterback times 4, right?
And you make a great point, because he was technically getting 9.5 sacks when he wasn't 100%. So I'm interested in seeing Justin Houston this year.
He's on two legs, not one leg this year. I like that.
Third takeaway from training camp, perhaps the wildest Eric Berry quote that we've heard, I think, regarding his whole process of going through cancer and beating it and returning to the Chiefs. Remember, Eric Berry has now missed three seasons, but he talked about the cancer one in particular. Listen very closely to what Eric Berry says.
You don't feel cheated by...
Nah, not at all. Not at all, because I learned so much. The whole cancer deal was actually a privilege, to be honest with you. It was a blessing at the same time, because I learned so much. I, you know, helped so many people, and so many people helped me as well. They inspired me, you know, just being able to connect with them through that common thread of having cancer and being able to overcome it. So, I mean, I can't really tell you where I would be without those situations either.
The unbelievable story to me gets more unbelievable. He says cancer was a privilege now, looking back, because he was able to sort of teach and help people through it. To me, that's amazing.
That's what winners do. I mean, winners have a different perspective on life. And I say this all the time, and I especially say it to young people when I talk to them. You're going to be defined by the way you handle adversity, and Eric Berry has handled it perfectly.
Yeah, to me, another thing to know... Chiefs need a kick returner. They're not really sure who it's going to be. Dave Tobe yesterday confirmed that Tyreek Hill will be the punt returner. Mm. But the name to watch at kick returner is a rookie named Tre'Mon Smith. I thought that Sammy Watkins was the second fastest player on the team, but Dave Tobe said no.
Uh-oh.
It's Tre'Mon Smith. So you could have someone who could be not as fast, but maybe nearly as fast as Tyreek Hill and Tre'Mon Smith, a number to watch.
So Tyreek Hill is going to be the punt returner this year. Now, maybe I'm crazy here, but the addition of Sammy Watkins probably spells Tyreek a little bit and frees him up to be that punt returner. Does that make sense or no?
Yeah, they kept him at punt return last year.
But they didn't do it all the time, though.
No,
right?
You're
right. They just kind of picked their spots.
You're right. And I think he's too dangerous of a weapon, too big of a home run hitter to not have him there. And you know, I saw some mentions of mine that were worried about, okay, if he's going to be the number one receiver, which to me, it's clear up there that he's the number one receiver, he shouldn't be taking punt returns. But most of the time, they'll kick away from him, and that'll give you a better field
even
position.
Better, yeah.
Or he'll fair catch if it's not safe.
Yeah, got it. All right, what's your final takeaway?
I have three pleasant surprises and three unpleasant surprises very quickly. Number one, Spencer Ware looks great. So does Mitch Morse. Wasn't expecting that. David Amerson has already recorded two interceptions and looks pretty good. And Kendall Fuller, to me, is that good. Chris Conley was talking the other day and says on the field, Kendall Fuller will help Chris Conley beat him. So to me, he's showing real veteran presence even at his young age.
Wait a minute. So Fuller's saying, hey, listen, if you're going to beat me, do this.
Right after the play, he'll tell Conley, this is how you do it. So, you know, he's 22, 23 years old, and he's acting like a veteran on the field. That's what you want to see from a guy who's replacing Marcus Peters, so to speak. And the unpleasant surprises, where did this Reggie Ragland injury come from? His knee is puffing up on a plane. To me, that is not a good sign. We still have not seen Reggie Ragland practice. Ukeme Elegwe and Terrence Smith filling in next to Anthony Hitchens, but not a good sign. I want to see Ragland back on the field. Number two, Sharkhandrick West out with a concussion right now. He needs to be on the field because he's more cuttable than ever. And then number three, as Kent, my film analyst, noted in his Saturday observations, the game is a little fast for Dorian O'Daniel, the rookie right now. We would like to see him kind of adjust to the speed of the game by the end of camp.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of normal, right, for most rookies?
Of course.
I mean, you've got to be some sort of a standout freak to be able to step right in.
Can I ask two follow-up questions?
No.
About two guys that you haven't mentioned yet?
No.
Where is Tano Passanio? And where's Breland Speaks? Because we've had this conversation at length here on this show. Neither of us are believers in D. Ford.
Yeah, I'm not a D. Ford
believer. And I'm not a believer that Justin Houston is actually healthy because he always tends to get hurt during the season. So I got to think that those two guys are going to be a little more crucial to this year's team. I know Passanio had an interception of Mahomes the other day. You take that for what it's worth. But have those guys made any flashes whatsoever?
Passanio and Speaks have been in the mix with the first team, and they're really high on Speaks. Passanio, you hear less about. Remember, he's a John Dorsey pick.
Yeah.
And so they're all sort of in on Speaks. But Passanio's in the mix, and he's just too big of a player to not get an opportunity here. Hasn't been making a ton of waves so far at training camp. The more you hear more about Speaks, I think – right now, you think there's more upside to Speaks just because there's that unknown factor. I think they're still developing, kind of similar to what I said about O'Daniel.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Speck. I mean, I was teasing you, but he's right. Like, I want to know where those guys are going to fit in because I don't buy into D. Ford. And I think if Justin Houston is going to go back to 2014 Justin Houston, he's got to have somebody on the other side like he did with Taba Haley when Taba was still in his prime but towards the end of it.
I think you guys are correct in the sense that Dee Ford and Justin Houston are talking the talk right now. You hear it less from Houston and more from Ford. Mm-hmm. So when Houston says something like that, I tend to buy in more from Houston than Ford, because we've seen this movie from Dee Ford before and we know the ending. So you hope it maybe is a sequel than the same movie we're watching again.
Well, and he better have a big year, or else I don't know what his career looks like for Dee Ford. When we come back, Justin Houston, we're joined by Pete Sweeney, by the way, from Arrowhead Pride. When we come back, Pete, I want to ask you about something. I think Justin Houston took a shot at Marcus Peters, and I'll explain, and I want to get your take on that as well. We'll be right back on The Drive. Welcome back into The Drive. Brad Fanning, Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Carrington Harrison has the day off today. He's heading down to Mizzou for a Meet Mizzou deal to raise money for Rally for Ryan. Jonte Porter's going to be down there. Man, it's Barry Odom's down there. It's a really good cause. He's raising money for a really good cause. Proceeds go to Rally for Ryan. Pete, we can't tell you what it is. You can't tell us what it is, but there's a big announcement Thursday on Arrowhead Pride Radio, right?
Thursday at 6, Arrowhead Pride Radio.
How big, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big is it? Like at 14?
Like an 8.73,
oh, wow.
8.7,
like a big one.
Round up 9.
Oh, wow.
Round up 9. Yeah, no, it's big. I mean, when I took over AP, I wanted to sort of blow this thing up, and this is just another step in the right direction. Yeah. So should be good.
Yes.
Make sure you tune in.
It's Thursday night, 6 o'clock, right after The Drive, right here on 610 Sports Radio. I got to play something for you, because I think, and maybe I'm crazy.
Here we go.
But here's what I think. I think Justin Houston took a little shot at one Marcus Peters. Here's what Justin Houston said.
I love how we're growing. There's no hothead guys. It's just everybody's on the same page. So they have meaning hotheads, because when you come to a new team, a guy really be quiet and really don't feel open to speak. That's what I mean by hothead. Because you come to a new team, some people be shy and just don't take to other guys. But every new guy we brought in, they just been all open. Some people just be closed when they uncomfortable with a new environment, but all the guys we brought in, they just seem like they willing and they open and they ready to go.
And that was Justin Houston talking about no more hotheads on the defense. Now, maybe I'm a little off base here, and I'm willing to admit that if that's the case, but it feels like to me that, and I've always said that, you know, while uber talented, like, you know, in my opinion, a top five corner in the league, Marcus Peters, to a point, you get that guy, even though they're super talented, they become a pain in the ass because you always got to go take care of them. You got to check on their emotions. You got to make sure they're making the right decisions. You got to calm them down. You got to get them out of Bob Sutton's face. You got to do all this stuff. And at some point, a drama-filled game, just it becomes too much. Do you think that Justin Houston was speaking specifically about not having Marcus Peters on the team?
I think partly, I don't think he maliciously was saying, let me find a secret way to bash Marcus Peters.
Because Houston doesn't do that stuff, right?
No, I would say no. But what I do think is he could have been talking about him in an indirect manner and is now thinking of the environment as a little bit better. Because here's the thing about Marcus Peters. We only saw what was on the field. From some things that you hear around and talking with people, this could have been a much bigger problem that, you know, there might have been episodes that people didn't even see. Like, it came out, I think, through Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network that there was a huge fight on a bus. Mm-hmm. Like, there was some truth to that. So where it might have been uncomfortable for a younger guy to try to step up in a big way. And yeah, I think you want some fire behind these guys, but you do get the feeling, especially I think sometimes, even nowadays, where every player has a voice and every player has a Twitter and an Instagram, mm-hmm. sometimes there'll be trades. I mean, you saw it in Washington when Washington opted to trade Kendall Fuller. There were players up in arms and being very vocal about it. When Marcus Peters was traded, it kind of was crickets.
Yeah.
So I think there is a theory that could potentially have some truth out there that maybe this was indeed addition by subtraction. Not because of the anthem stuff, and, you know, to me,
I don't think the players cared about the anthem stuff.
I don't think so either. But I think the room could be a little bit better without him. Talented on the field, absolutely. But that had to be a humbling experience getting traded for Peters himself as well.
Yeah, we're talking to Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. He's in until 4 o'clock. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Tom Martin from Channel 5, KCTV, is going to join us in studio. Can't wait to get his take on the Moose trade and what's going on up at Chiefs training camp. I feel like that's kind of what Justin Houston was doing. And Justin Houston doesn't typically come out and say things like that. I compared Peters to this because I used to be that guy when I was in college. Good dude, a lot of pals, a blast, kind of a sloppy drunk.
Right.
You know, where you had to get taken care of. Somebody had to step in, pull you out of there, you know, get them out of it. Damn it, it's Fanning again. Or there's other guys, too, that I would have to help with occasionally. And after a while, that just wears on you. You know, it gets in the way of game prep. It gets in the way of what you're trying to do in between series on the sidelines. After a while, it becomes too much despite how much talent a guy has. And I wonder if, in a way, that Chiefs defense and that team and that coaching staff can just take a deep breath and go, okay, let's get back to football. Now, we won't know until the season starts if it is addition by subtraction, but I've never heard Houston say that before, anything like that.
For what it's worth, I mean, there were shots and replays after plays where Houston, you would see him walking over to Peters to calm him down.
Yeah.
So there's evidence there that could make you sort of connect the dots. But again, I don't think Houston woke up and said, let me answer this question and give Marcus Peters a shot. I really just think he was talking about this room and says, you know what, it's much better. Indirectly, it kind of was a shot against Peters because you take that out of it. And
sure.
Maybe
and then it's nothing.
Right. And maybe it's a lot nicer. Again, I don't think Houston's malicious towards Peters. I just think he's happy with where the room's at. And one of the leaders on the team, as a fan, you got to be thrilled about that.
Go over your five takeaways again, just briefly. You know, I mean, tell people, because you've been at camp the entire time. The majority of people can't get up there every single day. I thought Speck made a really good point about what's up with Tano Passanio and what's up with Breland Speaks. Start there.
So Tano Passanio and Breland Speaks are getting mixed in with the first team. You'll see him out there. It's primarily Dee Ford and Justin Houston. You're hearing more, again, about Speaks than you are Tano. Tano, of course, is a Dorsey pick. Speaks as of each pick. I think they'll get an opportunity this year to contribute. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and I hope we see Passanio on more than special teams this year because I think that's what needs to happen in year two.
It has to be. I mean, you hear about his raw traits. Now you hear here you are. You had a year under your belt. Let's see what you can do. Pat Mahomes is flashing to me as expected. Again, the quote from Therese Paylor's story on Yahoo Sports. Henny said this. Mahomes can pick out pretty much any play in the playbook, apply it to coverage, and know where to go with the football without having install on the first time Mahomes is ready to go.
And I want to read a quote from you real quick. You guys tweeted this out earlier from at Arrowhead Pride. This is from Tyreek Hill. I think this is from a couple of days ago. But the quote was, Pat's the first guy that I've played with that has the arm strength. That's not taking anything away from other quarterbacks I've played with, but Pat is something special.
Tyreek Hill, by the way, I was really high on him this offseason, and I've been saying he's going to be top five in the NFL. He's going to be more like Antonio Brown than people think. He's shown me nothing to make me doubt where I was at on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a clip up on our Arrowhead Pride Twitter of him absolutely burning Steven Nelson in one-on-ones, and Steven Nelson looks pretty good himself, too.
Well, I was going to say, we saw that a lot last year in the regular season, though, too.
Mahomes to Hill is going to be legit. I that's all I can say. I mean, and you're seeing it at camp already. I'm excited for the first preseason game in that regard.
And what else do you have?
So, moving on to number two, Justin Houston, again, says he's back to 2014 form. Again, he threatened the all-time single-season sack record that year, 22 sacks. Came within a half. If you remember, Michael Strahan was given that record.
It was. That was
by
such
Brett
big.
Favre, yeah, so Brett he basically Favre. Has it anyway.
Yeah.
Eric Berry, what an amazing quote, saying that cancer was a privilege, and he loved that opportunity to go through that because he was able to inspire, I mean, on and off the field. This is clearly the leader of the Chiefs. Tre'Mon Smith is your name. To know at kick returner, he's the second fastest player on the team. Your pleasant surprises, Spencer Ware looks great. So does Mitch Morse. David Amerson looks pretty good. We were worried about him. Recorded two interceptions already of Pat Mahomes. Kendall Fuller is that good. Unpleasant surprises. Where in the world is Reggie Ragland? You need him back on the field. Sharkhandrick West is out with a concussion right now. He needs to be on the field because he's more cuttable than ever. And Dorian O'Daniel is needing some time, as my own Kent Swanson has said, to catch up to the speed of the game. Again, you can say that about a lot of rookies.
Last question for you before we get you out of here. The Chiefs went out there and they got Anthony Hitchin to put inside to play linebacker next to Reggie Ragland. If Reggie Ragland, this knee thing, doesn't get better, what do they do there?
It's looking like Oligwe will be the guy.
But he's hurt now, too. He's got, was it a foot today? Or
yeah,
what was it?
It was a foot. So they've been mixing in Terrence Smith. You might actually see a little bit of O'Daniel. It's going to be a little bit of a hole there. Based upon Andy Reid's comments, Ragland should be fine. I need to see him on the field.
Yeah.
For me, it's always, you can look at quotes of anyone, whether it be Reed or a player, look at the actions. I need to see him on the field.
What about Armani Watts? We've been killing him the last few days, calling him Sanders Cummings. Is that fair or not?
No, no. No, I don't think so.
I'm excited about him.
He was called the most clutch player in college football. I think he needs time to adjust to the speed of the game as well. He's been mixing in at safety. He was mixing in today with the first team at safety as well in their 10-10-10 periods. I think he's a guy with a lot of upside, just remains to be seen.
Got it. That's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. And again, Pete, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, you got a big announcement?
Big announcement. I think we said 8.73.
I think it might be like an 11.9, okay, if you had to ask me. Thanks. Pete, thanks for coming in. Check him out at arrowheadpride.com, our proud partner of 610 Sports Radio. Coming up next, Tom Martin from KCTV5 is going to join me in studio. I've got a crazy analogy for what's going on with the Royals right now. We'll get Tom's thoughts on the Mike Moustakas trade. Stay with us.